Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to thank you for joining us again today on the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We have an exciting guest lined up for you today. If you're looking for someone to motivate you, to be a mentor and guide down the path of success, you need to listen to today's interview. My guest today is Matt Kubler, Chief Operations Officer of MaxOut. Today, Matt is a full-time police officer. He's also the COO of MaxOut and is also a sought-after public speaker who captivates his audiences through his personal story of struggle and triumph. Matt's leadership training is based on his experiences as a soldier, as a law enforcement officer, as well as his very background. Matt Kubler has always lived a life of sacrifice and dedication to others. From serving in the U.S. Army to working as one of Pennsylvania's most renowned police officers to donating his time speaking to teens and young adults about the importance of leadership in their lives, he has devoted his life to helping others through both his personal and professional and personal life. Help me welcome to the program, Matt Kubler. Matt, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule today to join us, man.
Pastor Bob, it is a pleasure and an honor, and I thank you for having me on.
I appreciate that. Now, Matt, I always start with this question first. I need you to tell us, who is Matt Kubler?
I'm a servant. I've never really inwardly looked at myself like that. And recently, since I started doing podcasts and being interviewed, and I've been asked that question, and the word that always comes to mind is I'm a servant. Amen. And I will always be a servant. And that's my calling and my purpose, and it's taken many forms and led me down many different paths, but each and every one of them had me serving.
Amen. Now, I see when I was reading your bio and all that, doing research, I seen you had the grades that you could have applied to one of the four military academies, but instead you opted to enlist in the Army. Why did you choose that route?
Well, I actually had an appointment. I went through the whole process and got the appointment and to the Coast Guard Academy.
Okay.
And, man, that answer's hard. So I lacked many things at that age, one of which was a confidence in my own abilities to succeed in that environment. The military academies, while I had great grades and my package was very good. So obviously, I got an appointment.
Right, right.
I knew I was weak in math and that my analytical brain hadn't developed. Mm-hmm. And it was a very heavy math focus
in
the academy.
It's usually like engineering and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so I got scared. And I was also rebellious against my stepfather, who was a pastor, of all things. And he was very strict and loving, but strict. And we didn't necessarily see eye to eye. And on my 18th birthday, I did what a man does and made a decision. And I enlisted in the Army. And I kind of didn't really think it through because I thought maybe I could get out of that and have a choice between the two. But apparently that choice gets negated once you enlist in the Army.
Yeah.
So
got to read that fine print.
Yeah, I missed that part. So that's how it happened.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, I laugh because we have such similar backgrounds. I wasn't a child of a pastor, you know, anything like that, but my grandparents were like the elders in the church, you know, more or less. So I was there every time the church doors were open. I was raised by my grandparents. And my mother died when I was 18 months old. My dad was in and out of prison, so I spent most of my life with my grandparents. But, you know, more or less along the same lines. And, you know, my grades were good enough to apply. I never went through the process because I enlisted like September 21st of 76, and, you know, to go in June 24th of 77, right after graduating from high school. So my 12th grade was completely devoted, knowing I was going in the military. But yeah, everybody, all my friends who were applying, man, you should apply. I said, nah, I'm just gonna enlist, you know. But so yeah, we went down that same route. Now, how has your military background shaped what you do, your inspirational, motivational training program? How did that help?
Well, it helped immensely. Obviously, that, you know, the thing that happened to me when I went in the Army is I grew up, and I had to do it quickly. You know, I enlisted in April during my senior year. I was 18 then. My brother, who was autistic and stuttered profusely, passed away in July of that year. And I left for basic training in August.
Wow.
The Army was needed. I needed to get away from my life. Obviously, after my brother died, things went sideways. But, you know, I learned how to teach my brain how to become analytical. I became an intelligence analyst, decoding, deciphering. Yep. Messages and things like that. So I struggled. Don't get me wrong. I went to Intel school and I almost failed out because I couldn't get my brain to work the way it needed to work. And then all of a sudden something clicked and that part of my brain became active and I really started to hone it. And so the way I've learned to do that from the military and obviously the discipline and order through chaos, I'm able to apply a lot of that information and a lot of those skills that I cultivated during that time into my leadership program.
Amen. You know, you talk about the analytical brain developing. I struggled with algebra, you know, in ninth grade and almost failed. So the counselors, they moved me to another classroom that had a little easier teacher. And his assignments, you know, okay, for your homework, do page, 129, all the odd questions or something like that, right? And after about the third day, I realized he gave the homework assignment, and then he went over the homework assignment on the board, and then said, okay, turn in your papers. Now, my analytical mind wasn't fully developed. It was developed enough to know, hey, I got this. And, so I would look at the problems. I might do one or two, and that's about as far as I get, and then I'd do the rest, and usually I missed the one or two. And was getting the rest. So I was getting like B averages on homework and then D averages on the exams.
Yeah.
But I kept that same instructor, you know, through Algebra 1 and Geometry and Algebra 2 and Trigonometry as a senior. But, when I started taking college classes, you got to take college algebra. I was scared to death to take that class. And it took, it would have been, about 15 years after I graduated, when I finally had to take college algebra in order to graduate with my bachelor's. And I took the class, and it made so much sense. You know, I mean, like, oh, yeah, got this. I got like an A in this class. I'm like, why couldn't I understand this stuff when I was back in 12th grade, you know?
It's amazing how the brain develops.
Yeah, exactly. As I say, I understand completely what you're talking about with the analytical side of your brain, because, you know, I was struggling as well. Now, you're a police officer in Pennsylvania, and I know my military background helped me immensely in law enforcement in my career. Have you found that to be so in your case as well?
Oh, my God, yeah. That was, when I got out in 93, and within 4 months, I had a full-time job as a cop. Mm-hmm. And, back in that era of police work, blue-collar military guys what they wanted as
right.
cops.
Yep.
Luckily, I obviously have a pretty good IQ, and so I finished number one on every test I've ever taken. But, the military points, and I don't know how they do it in Maryland, but they give you 10 extra points for the military, which I never needed to use, but it was nice to have in case I did.
Right.
That put you up, you know, it shows how the military preference is what they want as police officers. So for me, you know, having gone to, been in a war and been deployed overseas and the structure, I'm not necessarily the most conforming human being on the planet. I don't know how I made it through the military with as much success as I had, because I'm always challenging people and always questioning why. which isn't necessarily a formula for success in the military.
Right.
But
right.
It worked out in my favor. I think if I'd have went infantry, it might have had a different result. But going intel, it's a different kind of military, so it worked for me. But being a cop with a military background and being able to make decisions quickly and do so under heavy duress, and stay calm, I think is one of the greatest attributes I have.
Yep. Amen. Yeah, that's a positive, because I know, you know, when I my military, I've, you know, basic training, of course, went to drill sergeant school. Drill sergeant school, you go through basic training all over again your first couple weeks just to make sure you can do it. Then you go through it learning how to teach it, and then you go through it showing the instructors you know how to teach it. You know, so you go three times. And then I applied in 1986. I went to officer candidate school, so I went through it again. So when I got to the police academy, you know, and they're doing all the yelling and, you know, all the stuff that they normally do, you know, I just picked a spot on the wall and locked in. You know, they could get, yep. Had two, three of them yelling at one time. I wouldn't even blink. I'm just staring straight at it. And as they're, you know, they couldn't affect me, so they go on to the next guy. And the senior instructor came up and he just whispered in my ear. He said, "You're prior military, right?" I said, "Sir, yes, sir." You know, he goes, "This is going to be a piece of cake for you. Don't worry about it."
So,
yeah. I do. You know, it was just all part of the head game, and I just locked in. And they weren't, you know. So, but yeah, the military training definitely will prepare you for staying calm in tense situations. I mean, we all have stories about what happens out on the road and stuff, but you know, I come up with these younger guys, and they're like, I got, just hold on, let me go up and take care of this. You know, I'll go up and talk to the people. So yeah, it definitely helps out, because that's the whole concept of the military training, is to get you to react calmly under pressure. You know,
yep.
So you don't freak out when things are going, you know, when things are going south, you got to be able to turn around and go north. But, before we get into your motivational speaking career, I wanted to back up to something that I opened with and get just a little bit more information on that. I mentioned MaxOut. Now, it's a unique fitness and strength training program. Explain what MaxOut is and why it's so unique.
Oh, I'm glad you asked. MaxOut is awesome. MaxOut is what got me into becoming an entrepreneur. Essentially, what MaxOut is, and I don't know for anybody who's lifted weights, doing negatives is a big thing as far as developing muscle.
Right.
Being able to hold and lower a heavier weight, and then have somebody help lift it off of you, and most people do that as like a burnout set at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's the holy grail to muscle development. The problem is that it's labor intensive, or you know, people use bands and chains to add the change in the variable in the eccentric. That's what the negative is, the eccentric. So I have a piece of technology, and we just developed a brand new piece of technology that allows us to load a body eccentrically with a heavier weight, and then use our device to offload that weight during the same repetition, and do that multiple times over and over with consistency. So in order to develop muscle, you need to be able to create time under tension during the load. So if you're doing a 4-second negative, you want to have the same load during that 4 seconds. And then conversely, on the concentric, the lifting phase, you want to have the same load going up. If there's any change in variable during that time period when you're moving the weight, that changes the amount of stress that's being placed on the muscle fiber. Our device allows us to do that specifically and precisely with measured amounts of assistance throughout the concentric, and then load the bar up with the proper amount of eccentric load. So with all that being said, I can put more stress on a muscle, create more new muscle fiber than anything else on the planet in less time. Mm-hmm. Annually, most strength training programs are 80 to 100,000 reps on the body. Ours is somewhere between 12 to 20,000, depending on the type of athlete or person.
Mm-hmm.
So the connective tissue and the joints, the ligaments, the tendons, the bone on bone, we limit that, because that's usually what stops people from working out, is when they have joint issues. And when you place the body under stress, just like a car with brakes or shocks, if you constantly, you know, slam on the brakes or go over potholes, you're going to create damage to that part. While the car may still run, if the shocks are broken and the brakes are shot, you're not going to get very far. And that's kind of what we, you know, we're safety first, we're a client health first, but we do want to make sure that we provide you with the strength that you need to do the things you want to do. And for me, I have a joint disease. That's the whole reason I got into it and borrowed $150,000 I have a joint disease, and I wasn't able to lift. I wasn't able to lift consistently. I would lift 4 days in 1 week, and then it would take me 2 weeks for my body to heal before I could lift again.
Exactly. Yeah.
So being able to do this now, once a week, I'm stronger than I've ever been in my life. You know, I work with people with neurological, neuromuscular disease. I've helped them find independence and strength, whether it's stroke or MS or ALS or cerebral palsy or paralysis. Utilizing our technology and methodology, we're able to get them walking or using their limbs again. And that's, you know, when you talk about purpose, that's an amazing thing.
Now, let me understand. So let's say I'm doing a, you know, bench press. Let's say it's just, you know, 100 pounds up. Okay. You hold 100 pounds coming down as well and do your slow, you know, your slow lower. Now, how do you add weight to that?
Reduce the weight. Yeah, so we load whatever the machine is. So if it's a barbell or, like, say, a leg press machine with a pin rack, we put whatever the weight prescribed for the lowering phase. So if you're on a barbell, say a bench press, if I put 135 pounds on the bar, you're going to come off the rack, hold, and lower that 135 pounds. Then my machine activates. It's connected by a cable and a pulley to the center of the barbell, and it takes off weight from that bar. So you would lower the 135 and, say, raise 100. So it offloads the weight during the lifting portion of the movement versus adding anything to it.
So the concept, I'm just formulating this in my mind and visualizing it. So we bench up 100 pounds, but then the machine adds the 35 as we lower it just to build up that extra strength.
Using concept. So if you are, say, on a leg curl machine where you have to put the pin in the rack, right?
Yep.
The first movement is a lifting movement. Machine will actually offload the weight on the way up, and then the weight that's on the machine is what you lower on the way back down. And it flips it when you're doing a lowering movement first. So the lowering movement first would be the weight that's on the bar or the machine. And then when you go to lift the weight, my machine offloads weight from it.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And is it available for, like, private home use, or is it only available to gyms and
It's commercial only right now.
Yeah.
We have, a lot of pro teams and college teams that use it, and we have our own gyms. We're going to be selling the new device, which is a lot more portable and sellable, to be honest. Next month, with partnering with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and so we're excited. It's been 9 years of trying to figure it all out, but the one thing that never varied was the what we were able to do for people inside of our studios.
Yeah, amen. Because I know, just reading some articles on this, you and your partners took quite a beating starting out, right? But your future is, you got most of it figured out.
Yeah, I mean, when you're doing something no one else has ever done, no one's ever done a once-a-week strength training program and turned it into a business.
Yeah.
And no one's ever done that during a recession, which I do not recommend.
I could imagine.
it is not the best option. But the hardest thing is to convince people what they need and what is available and why it's better. And that just takes time, and it takes a lot of practice and a lot of trial and error. And, we realized that we're not necessarily in the gym business. We're in the solution business, and we're trying to create a solution to a problem. And instead of trying to pigeonhole ourselves into just opening gyms, we've decided that moving forward, we're just going to be a manufacturer and sell this to anybody who's really able to use it in order to help more people. So,
hey, man. Now, you mentioned it's just a once-a-week workout?
The 95% of our athletes, or anybody actually, they come one day a week and they work out for 1 hour, and that's the strength side. Now we have additional services we offer for cardio and weight loss, but the strength side is, it's a 1 day a week strength training program.
So I say, wow, professional football player, that's not gonna sit too well if they only, they want to get huge for the game, they want to work out. They need days of rest, yes, but I can't imagine them just
they would only do it twice a week, would be the most. I have pro athletes that only lift 2 days a week. And they're off season. Now in season, it's a different. They do a lot lighter weight with a different purpose. But Yeah, it's cool. It's the human body and the human brain.
Oh man, they're
are
awesome.
Pretty much the same. If you approach it the same way, you're going to have success. If you look at how do I find solutions to problems and what is the root cause of the problem versus treating symptoms, you're going to have a whole lot more success.
Amen. Now, I know you're into mentoring. You do a lot of work with like student athletes and all that. Do you provide that same, the Maxote training to student athletes, or is it just for adults? And how's that impacted local schools and all that?
Yeah, we do a lot of work with kids. We have, for our Maxout program, 13 is the starting age point just because of growth plates. So when we started the leadership mentorship program that I started at Maxout, was a result of getting kids to come in and do the strength training. And as a coach or a strength coach, you know, you become a lot more than just the person that's telling them what to do in the exercises. Next thing you know, they're telling you about their problems. And I knew that I had been mentoring kids for decades prior to this, but I never really thought about the application in that environment. And then all of a sudden, I saw these opportunities appear where kids were asking me for guidance. And I'm like, well, let's see what we can do with this. And I created a program for the kids that were coming in and had amazing success with it. And then I started to get a lot more requests, and unfortunately it was tied into the business. So I decided to take it out of the business and turn it into a program that I could take outside of the four walls that wasn't just for the kids that came to my gym. So I went to schools and started creating programming for them, and that's really where this whole public speaking, inspirational speaking thing started.
Amen. Now, how has this mentoring program impacted the communities?
I think it's impacted them a lot. I know that on the micro level with the kids that I started with on an individual one-on-one basis, amazing results. These kids were all high strivers to achieve. They wanted, you know, they were at my facility because they wanted to get better in the physical aspect, and the same mental approach was used for the leadership side. And you know, every one of these kids went on to college, and they were captains on their teams, and they're now in similar type roles where they're helping kids of tomorrow, and whether it's in coaching sports or mentoring kids. And so the pay it forward component's there, which is one of the big things I was hoping for. And now within the schools, you know, I get a lot of emails and messages on my social media from the kids that I've spoken to in schools, just, you know, thanking me for coming in. And every once in a while they'll message me with a problem and ask for my opinion, and you know, it's cool. It's cool to know that the impact you're making, even if it's not, I'm not on a daily basis in these schools. They'll bring me in for assemblies, but it's satisfying for me to know that the words that I left with them and the ideas and ideals that I gave them resonated.
Yeah, amen. That's awesome. Let's shift gears a little bit again here. Now, you joined the Air Marshals right after 9/11. I mean, congratulations on being selected. I applied and I wasn't selected, so congratulations on that. How long were you with the Air Marshals?
4 years and 3 months.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't the easiest job on the planet.
Oh, I could imagine. I mean, most people, you know, it's like, oh, we're going on vacation, let's go on the airplane. You know, when you got to sit, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours on the plane because that's your job. Nope, you know, those chairs are just, that's not a good business chair, put it like that.
No. And I did it 4,238 times.
Oh, man, I can imagine.
I kept every one of my boarding passes because I knew.
Really?
At some point in time, this was going to end, and I wanted to know how insane that number was going to be. So.
Oh, my God. In 4 years and 3 months, you went over 4,300 times.
Yeah, it was not.
Man.
God. I always tell people my office was at 37,000 feet.
So. That's right. That's right. Now, after that, you became a police officer. You know, how long have you been a cop? We talked off air, I know, but I'm just asking.
25 years. I started in 1993 doing local police work, and then 9/11, I went to the Air Marshals, and then I had an opportunity to come back to a little. I didn't want to be a cop anymore when I left the Air Marshals, but an opportunity presented itself that I felt I needed to take, and it was to be a police officer again in a community near where I live for one of my best friends, who's the chief, and I didn't really know how long I was planning on being there for. There was kind of like a pool on how long I was going to stay. It was over under was 4 years, and it's been 12, so I think I outlived the pool. But it's been a great place for me because it's allowed me to figure out my future and become an entrepreneur. And it's not a I've worked in some very high stress areas where mm-hmm. a lot of crime, and this is a little bit more of a sleepy town, college town. So I don't have the as many stresses as I did in other environments, but
right.
It's a good space.
Amen. Hey everyone, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time on today's interview. Glory to God. Matt Kubler is a fascinating interview, client. I mean, it's just so fascinating, the storied life he's lived, all these different agencies, but more importantly, he has developed in association with his group this Max Out fitness training system. Now, as a police officer, Matt knows what it takes to do the bodybuilding aspect and strength training. I know a lot of officers that, they go overboard on the strength training, they end up getting hurt. And then you got those who say they don't have enough time to work out, and they end up getting hurt on the job for one reason or another. But this Max Out system combines the elements you need in order to develop that strength and fitness while still giving you time. You're only going to work out once or twice a week. Go to maxoutcorp.com, and check it out. And then you decide whether or not it fits your lifestyle. We're going to take this up again tomorrow. Till then, be blessed. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.